Hello, this is Jeff Coyne. Welcome, everybody, to our monthly speaker co-op education call. This is one of the ways we tell the world what we do here at Speaker Co-op is by having this, this monthly call to share some knowledge from one of our members, and today that member happens to be me. I started speaking by accident. I was running my own advertising agency, and in 2004, I got involved with a group called CEO Space. And we had a weekly lunch on Fridays where we taught the 30-second elevator pitch, the 30-second networking commercial. And what I did was sort of really resonated with that education. I started helping to teach it at the lunch. I would fill in for the state director, Kendall Lee Pernan, when she wasn't available. And then a couple people asked me to come to their group and do the same thing, teach that elevator pitch the way we were teaching it on Fridays. And I understood that that would be a good way to expose myself business-wise to other people, because as an advertising agency, my business was about creative messaging, and I understood that the networking was the most basic form of advertising. And the 30-second elevator pitch was the most basic form of networking as, itself. So started doing some speaking that way, promoting myself. And I learned that there were other people doing the same thing. They were speaking for business. They were not speaking to become a public speaker. And then I got somebody asked me if I would come back and do a workshop for just three or four of them, and they would pay me. And I went, oh, a new profit center I never thought of. What a cool idea. And then as time went on, people would have me ask me to come speak again, but they would want new content. So I wound up creating, over a few years, an entire curriculum, 6 hours of content around business networking. And then in 2006, we started Speaker Co-op as a way for people who were speaking for business to promote each other and get some education and network together. And also in 2006, I decided that that I was going to be more focused on business speaking. So I set a goal to speak once a week in 2007. I did that. And then I set a goal to speak twice a week in 2008. And I did that. And I did that again in 2009. So over a three-year period, I spoke 250 times. And I generated revenue about 95% of the time, but I got a speaking fee only about 5% of the time. So I became an expert at this thing we call business speaking, which is speaking for people who are not a speaker as their job title. And we learned a lot of things. I was involved with NSA and a member, so I learned from the National Speakers Association, and some of what I teach is I learned from there. And we apply it to business speakers. So what we do for business speakers is help them learn how to get in front of audiences, which we're going to focus on today, how to deliver a talk that gets results, for which the results they want are clients. And then also we help folks like that create additional profit centers that they hadn't really looked at before, so that somebody who is an accountant or an attorney who only gets paid by the hour can be doing having books and webinars and seminars that create revenue when they're not working. So we've borrowed that from the professional speaking model. But I got those 250 bookings all on my own. Now, some of them, or a lot of them, were people calling me. Hey, so-and-so said we needed to call you, and they heard your talk and wanted you to come speak. And, of course, that's one of the top results we want from a business talk is other talks. And so the number one key to getting yourself booked for the groups we're talking about, which are Rotaries and Chambers of Commerce, networking groups, local associations, things like that, are interesting topics. So you have to start by being marketable to the people you want to get in front of. So instead of just saying team building or leadership or things like that, you need to come up with a topic that will entice people to want to have you booked. And, you know, on our website, you can scroll through the Speaker Club website and see lots and lots of interesting topic titles. In the professional public speaking world, a lot of times they can get away with just saying, I'm an expert on team building because I've been doing it for 35 years, and here's a list of Fortune 100 clients who hire me. But on the rotary circuit, the rubber chicken circuit we joke about sometimes, you have to have something that will entice that person to book you, because the person who's booking you for those meetings is a volunteer. They have been volunteered or volunteered themselves to be the programming vice president or chair of program or the meeting committee, or there's lots of different titles for that person. And sometimes that job winds up falling to the president of the organization. But the program chair, the VP of programming, whatever they call it, is the person you're trying to attract. One of the things I do when I'm networking, and I do a 30-second commercial, is I ask to meet your friend who can't say no because they got volunteered to be on the board. And that's always a good conduit to the person responsible for speakers at meetings. Because nowadays, I don't just book myself. We have a program here at Speaker Club where we help other people with their bookings. So clever title. Now, one thing I'll mention there is, as a business person, sometimes you have to create a topic that's not the same as what you do every day in your job. For example, I was visiting with an optometrist yesterday, and he's been doing that for 35 years, but nobody's going to book him to talk about optometry. But elementary schools have booked him to talk about eye safety, and we brainstormed that he can do a very effective topic on customer service for the business set, for Rotary and Chamber, et cetera, because he's got lots of stories about customer service. So you can pick a niche like that for yourself, and that will get you in front of a business audience. And 9 times out of 10, our people who are speaking as business speakers want to be in front of business owners and people in the C-suite as well. So that's why if you can relate what you do in some way to business, then you can be interesting to those audiences to get in front of them. And then, oh, by the way, you know, I have an optometry practice, and here's information to come by for an exam. I will tell the story that we've created about Susie, who has a tree service, and this is germane to everything we do here at Speaker Co-op, but you'll see how it affects booking. This is a more mature business person, which means she's not trimming trees herself. She has crews that go out and do the work, so her primary job as the owner is business development, is getting more revenue, getting more clients. So, again, people aren't really going to book her to talk about the trees of Texas or the trees of Georgia or whatever the case may be, but what's a topic that's related to her business, to a tree service? Well, she could start speaking about how to be more ecological, more sustainable in the office place. She can teach people how to create recycling programs and other tips that she can learn, if she doesn't already know them, about how to have a more green and sustainable office. That's a hot topic in 2016. And so she can go to the chamber and speak about that and have, you know, Susie's 5 tips to make your office more sustainable. She'll have a worksheet, which you always want to have, and she'll have those 5 tips on a worksheet, and on the back of the worksheet she'll have an ad for her tree service. And then she can actually offer a workshop, you know, once a month, once every other month, 2-hour seminar, more into more detail on how to have a sustainable workplace. She can create a 60 or 90 minute audio CD, or just the MP3 nowadays, the download, about that same topic, expanding on her 20-minute talk. Then she can offer to do sustainability audits and get paid to go into an office for a couple of hours and do, and then give them a review of how to make their office more sustainable. And at a, even at a higher hourly rate, she could actually do the work for them. So we have somebody with a tree service who only gets paid when the weather's nice enough for her crews to be out working. And we've created not only a way for her to market that business and get people to hire her tree service for their homes and their businesses, but a way for her to add profit centers that don't depend on the weather. And if she puts that content online and offers it as downloads and e-publications and white papers and things like that that she can sell or give away, she's now created a business without borders as well. So that's our business speaking model that we teach at Speaker Co-op, and you can see how the content of the talk, the value of the talk, goes right along with the topic title. Because the primary thing that those programming people are looking for is somebody to make them look good, somebody to give value or entertainment to the audience. And more often than not, they're looking for value as opposed to entertainment. That doesn't mean we can't entertain along the way as we educate. But so speaking topics, and I want to just, that's really important to get for you to get with somebody. If you're not a wordsmith, if you're not a person that's great with coming up with clever, pithy titles, find a friend or hire a marketing person to help you with those titles. Because that's what's really going to attract you. Titles we've come through Speaker Co-op are things like, for a financial advisor, Beachcomber or Walmart Greeter. Now, that's pretty vivid. We had a wills and trust attorney who did a topic about her blended family called 6 Kids, 8 Parents, Life in a Sitcom Family, or something along those lines. I have a topic called Conversation Starters versus Conversation Killers, and that's always gets people's attention. So nail down those topic titles, and then the second step is to determine, and this is sort of happens at the same time with the first step, who's your audience? You know, some people want to be in front of more women business owners or business people than men. Some people, it doesn't matter. Some people want to be in front of more baby boomers than younger folks. Some people, the opposite, you know, want to be in front of more younger folks. If you're, you know, in the real estate market, it may be that you want to focus on younger people since they may not have their first house yet. If you're in the real estate market, you also want to focus on seniors who are going to be getting rid of their houses and having perhaps one other transaction or not, you know, into a retirement community. You know, there are people looking for established businesses as opposed to new businesses. So you want to figure all this stuff out and then look at the demographics, because most of this is online. Google does know everything. You know, for example, most of the time, Rotary is going to be more established businesses and baby boomers. Obviously, every Rotary chapter is going to have some younger folks. But then along the way, there are a few Rotaries that are almost all retired people. And you need to make sure you know who those people are. These are what I share in my education around business speaking is stuff I've learned by doing, and a lot of it is based on mistakes that I've made and figured out how to correct them and do it better. You know, our moms and dads told us to learn from our mistakes, but I will tell you it's a lot less painful to learn from somebody else's mistakes. So that's part of what I bring to the table. For example, I drove out to one of the towns outside of Dallas. Now, I wouldn't even call it a suburb because it's further out than the suburbs, for a Sunrise Rotary. And I'll tell you, they call them Sunrise for a reason, because they start at 7 a.m. And I was up a couple hours earlier than that to make sure I got there. And I went in. I gave a nice talk, talk that had been successful lots and lots of times before. And I passed my bucket for business cards. And when I got the bucket back, I had seven, and it was to be able to win one of my CDs. So when I got the bucket back, it had seven cards in it. Four of them were my card with somebody's name written on them, because I put my cards on all the tables. Three of those four were just a first name. And so I discovered that pretty much the only person interested in my topic in that group was the person who booked it. And again, we live and learn. So now the letter of agreement I use for speaking includes that I get everybody's email address who's at the meeting. And of course I can pass the bucket for doing that, but I have a backup in the contract that if I get the kind of results I did that one day, that they'll back it up and share that information with me. There's even a Rotary that has their entire roster with email addresses and phone numbers on a placemat that goes at everybody's seat every meeting they have every week. That was pretty handy, except the only flaw there was I didn't know who wasn't in the room, because it was about a 50-person Rotary and there were about 50 people at the lunch, but not all of them were there, because, of course, they had guests and things like that. So that kind of shows you, because you want one of the results you want is who was in the room. Now, not everybody's looking to build their list with the attendees, but I think it's a good idea. If you hadn't previously had a newsletter, the audience from your speaking is a great way to do that. I had a 2,500 newsletter list from all that speaking, and I had about a 40 to 45% open rate on those newsletters because people knew my name. And I told them when I collected their business cards that I would be sending them a newsletter. And the newsletter had content that they cared about. It was about networking, but it was also always very short, very brief, 1 5-minute read, one or two little banner ads, and that was it. So I had a really high open rate from people who knew who I was. So that's, again, another result from doing all that business speaking. So we've established a topic title. We've established who our audience is, whose problems we solve. Next, now, well, let's find out where they hang out in groups. I know I keep saying Rotary, but that's because when I say Rotary, I also mean Lions Club and Elf Club and Kiwanis and all the other service organizations. Those are technically co-ed, but still mostly men in most markets. But then you've also got groups like Altrusa, which is a women's service organization. Hadassah is a women's service organization for Jewish women. There are Red Hat Ladies, and Pink Hat Ladies are younger than Red Hat Ladies, because I think you have to be 55 to be a Red Hat. And so those are service and social organizations. Every profession has a women's version. So, for example, there's a Women's Bar Association. There's women CPAs. There's women engineers. There's women architects. So, and you don't have to be a woman to appeal to those audiences. I always had a lot of success speaking to women audiences. Just my, networking is about helping other people, and it was just, I was a good fit for a lot of those women's groups. And then if HOAs and neighborhood associations is your market, you have to go out and find those. Those are a little harder to find, but they're usually, most of them have websites of some sort. But besides Google being your friend, Meetup is a huge help. You can search within 50 miles or 100 miles of where you live. You can type in exactly who you want to be in front of. You can type in medical. You can type in entrepreneur. You can type in marketing, whatever the case may be. And then following on that is Eventbrite as well, but it's not as easy to search Eventbrite. But then you go back to what associations work for me. So let's say you've established that you want to, business owners, established people who've been in business for 5 or more years, is a big part of who you want to reach out to. Okay, now it's time to make some choices. What I mean by that is when we make choices about who we're targeting, it's not about eliminating people. It's about being more effective in what we're in, how we're spending our time, money, and effort. So you pick, and I usually recommend start with three. You pick three target demographics because that's where you're going to focus your time and money and effort when it comes to reach outreach and marketing and advertising, et cetera. Now, it's likely that the only advertising you're doing is networking and speaking, and that's okay. But if your audience is successful business owners, there are a couple other outlets to reach out to. There's a lot of places you can sponsor events in high schools and elementary schools if you understand that a bunch of business owners live in those neighborhoods, especially if it's your own neighborhood. That's always a good thing. You don't have to have a kid at the school to advertise in the play program or the football program. And I actually think the play program is more effective because there's time to read it. And a lot of that happens at intermission or even during a play or what have you. Anyway, the football program is a lot of rah-rah, not necessarily, people don't necessarily look at the ads, they look for their kid's picture. But I digress. So the other thing I was talking about with associations is where I was getting to is pick a couple of industries that either you've already had success with or you have some connection to. So say your dad was a pipe fitter or whatever. There are businesses and there are associations for pipe fitting businesses or businesses associated with that industry. So you can have some common ground. If you've already had success with a bowling alley, there's a bowling proprietors association. There's an association for everything. And in a lot of cases, they'll have a monthly lunch in your market. And those are great places to speak. They're always looking for speakers. Sometimes with an association lunch, somebody has to sponsor to be able to speak, and their vendors come in and pay to sponsor. But what they do but part of that is they're not necessarily looking for the vendor to do a 20 or 25-minute talk. The vendor does 5 minutes as a thank you for sponsoring, and they need somebody with great content to make the vendor look good, to make the programming chair look good, and to have a solid meeting. So you sometimes have to work your way to the person who's paying to sponsor the lunch so that you can speak there. But that's easy to do. I mean, in the early days of my business, I sponsored some lunches and paid for other speakers to be there. I bought the food, is what the sponsorship amounted to, was paying the caterer. And not only did I get exposure to some more people, but I also met some other speakers who wound up being people that I did business with later. So there's a little bit of finagling, negotiating that can go on with an association lunch, but it can be very valuable. So pick some industries, pick some verticals, and then, you know, as a business person, if you're in a coaching or consulting piece or even accounting, you could become the expert on that industry. You could be the accountant for restaurants because you've educated yourself and you have a list of restaurants that you work for. Same thing with, you know, attorneys and business coaches and advertising and marketing. There's all kinds of businesses that, while what we do is the same for everybody, it can be valuable to say we've got a client base of doctors. And because once we say we're working with doctors, other doctors will be attracted. And then we can go out and find the doctor meetings to present at. I want to pause and just see if anybody has questions up to this point about titles or targeting or the different kinds of organizations. No worries. We will forge ahead. So let's talk a little bit about the talk, and the content here is for booking, but let's just talk a little bit about the talk because, as I said early on, one of the ways to get more talks is to give a good talk. So the number one thing you want to do is give value. That's it. That's the number one thing when you're speaking for business. My book that will be coming out soon is is called Speaking as a Business Strategy, The 9 Laws to Get Clients from the Front of the Room. And law number one is give value. So we're never going to bait and switch. We're never going to say, you can learn that if you buy my book. What we'll say is, here's the thing, here's the value. If you want more detail, it's in my book, but here's the premise. We want to share good stuff. We even can share our best stuff, because the reality is only a small group of those people are going to learn what you're talking about in 20 minutes and be able to implement it without hiring you. More often than not, they're going to hire you. If they want what you're talking about and they see the pain that you can relieve, they will hire you. And sometimes that'll happen after they've tried it themselves and failed, and then they'll call you back. But that's a reality of human nature. So anyway, so we're going to give value in our talk. We're going to have a good worksheet that has our contact information, perhaps a flyer about our core services. We're going to present a way for people to buy at the end of our 20 minutes or 25 minutes, just the last 1 or 2 minutes. Give people an enrollment form so they can choose to buy from us. And no matter what kind of service it is, there's only a few exceptions where you can't get money right there in the room, where you can't take money from somebody until they come to your office. You can always offer a deal on a free assessment. You know, my hourly rate is $350 an hour, but because you're here at this lunch, if you would like me to come do an assessment of your business, I'm offering those today for $99. And that's where I'll come spend an hour or two with you, and then I'll write you a report. And that's $1,000 value for $99, or actually 97 is what we're told nowadays to use sevens. And don't ask me why, because I really don't have the answer. I just know that when my pricing was 9, I didn't make as many sales as now that my pricing is sevens. 47, 147, 497. Who knows? There's something about that. At any rate, so we're going to have a handout that people keep. And we're going to have a handout that we want back, because people are going to use it to opt into our newsletter or give us a testimonial or buy something or all of the above, right? So we've done the title, the audience, the types of groups, and a little bit about the talk itself. So we always want to leave people wanting more. The reality is, if you do a great job from the front of the room, people are going to want more of you. So that's why we want to give them the opportunity to pay for more of you. Because bottom line, that's what most of us are speaking about, to get business, to get more revenue. Okay. The biggest, I don't think I've said there's one biggest thing. I said the number one rule is give value. But the biggest mistake, how's that? The biggest thing people don't do when they do these talks is follow up. And the booking system needs to be followed up with too. So follow-up is the life or death of success when it comes to booking as a speaker. Probably it's the life or death to success of sales in general, but with the booking, you want to track whether you're using, ACT or Salesforce, or you need a tracking system. Now, that tracking system could be something as simple as an Excel spreadsheet, but you want to be able to track who you talk to, when you talk to them, what the organization was that they're part of, some notes about the organization, how many people belong, how often do they meet, is it a Wednesday lunch, Tuesday lunch, monthly, weekly, all that good stuff. And you want to track how they came into your pipeline. And, of course, what happened next. So in the tracking system I've created, I've got the date, the person, the organization. I've got a field for notes. I've got a field for when they lunch or breakfast or when they eat or when they meet. I've got how the referral or the prospect came to me, whether it was Google or LinkedIn or Facebook or what have you, or sometimes they contacted me. So it says that they contacted me on LinkedIn, they contacted me on Facebook, they emailed me. What activity happened? So what did I do? Did I leave a voicemail? Did I have a conversation? did I email my one sheet or one of my clients' one sheets? And then the results of that, what are they? Said they sent it on to their committee. They're not deciding until next month. They was having a conversation with a booking client this morning, and one organization we've been targeting isn't even looking for speakers yet for their February event, because I learned about them on the week of their 2015 event and have been staying in touch with the person responsible. And then I found out just a couple days ago that they haven't even put out their request for speakers for next February. So now I have to set an alarm for 60 days or 90 days from now to get in touch with them and see if they put out their call for speakers yet. They're supposed to send it to me, but we can't always rely on that. But on my calendar, it says call so-and-so about so-and-so for February 2017 event. So that makes that once you're putting ticklers on your calendar, and again, if you're using a CRM like ACT or Salesforce, you put those alarms in there, and they alert you. And then, of course, you want the phone and the email information of the contact, of course. And, you know, eventually the result should hopefully say booked and the date. But so the follow-up system, and I'm going to run through that again since we're on audio. It's the date that we did the latest contact. It's the person, the organization, notes, the dates and details of the when of the meeting, the source of the lead of the prospect, the activity, the current activity, the results, and then the contact info. Now, what that means is that I cut and paste all that information a month later, 2 months later, when I go in and do the next follow-up. If I'm using an Excel spreadsheet, I keep updating the date contacted and list the other date, the previous dates in the notes or in the activity. So the activity box can say, February gave book to booker, gave the actual book of the client. March left a voicemail. April left a voicemail. May sent an email. June spoke to the person. So I'm keeping track of what's going on. So like I said, you can use an Excel spreadsheet. Much more efficient is to use a CRM, a customer relations manager, like ACT or Goldmine, or maybe dating myself on those, but Salesforce, Sugar. There's a whole bunch of them that integrate with your phones and your other devices. But don't be fooled into using like an email program like Gmail or Outlook as a CRM, because they're simply not. They have some of the same things like an email and a calendar, but they're not the proper tool to put people in a pipeline, in a sales pipeline. And that's what booking is, sales. Everything you know about sales, you can apply to booking. What I've tried to cover today is the things that aren't intuitive as a salesperson, the topic title as opposed to a marketing message and things like that. So follow up. And that's the way to guarantee results. The other thing that comes along with this kind of thing, especially if you're a solopreneur, you're the only person in your business, is a virtual assistant can help with some of this. A booker, like what we do here at Speaker Co-op, can be helpful. With a booker, I just take over the whole thing. And our part of our Speaker Co-op booking membership is we address the strategy, and so we help go through all the things that we cover in this talk, and then we do the work of getting people booked. But you could have you could have your admin do all the stuff, the sending of emails. So, you talk to somebody, you send an email to the admin, send Bob at the Western Association my one sheet and my press kit and et cetera, et cetera. So the other thing we do as part of that Speaker Co-op booking membership is make sure that you have all the pieces you need that we do all the, you know, we make sure you have a good one sheet and any kind of press kit and things like that. So as opposed to some booking agencies out there and opposed to a speaker bureau, we work with the strategy. We want our clients to succeed. And for us, success is not just getting in front of audiences. Success is generating revenue because of that, we also have a commission component attached to our booking membership. If there's enough interest from this call to do a booking class with more detail and worksheets and exercises, et cetera, on getting yourself booked, I'm glad to do that. We'd have to just see, again, what kind of interest there is for that. I want to let people know that they can join Speaker Co-op at the two basic levels. One is $99 for the year, and that gets you a listing on our website. And if you tell me from this recording that you heard about it on this recording, I'll offer a 30-minute telephone consultation to add on top of the membership. The other basic membership is called our Journeyman membership, and that's $29.97 a month, and that lets you get access to our 30 and I guess probably 40 plus hours now of audio content, some video, teaching all the different aspects of business speaking, including a bunch of the keynotes from the last 4 or 5 years of Speaker Co-op meetings. We've been meeting for 10, but we didn't start recording until 4 or 5 years ago. So lots and lots of valuable content. These education calls are in the member area archived as well. So a whole bunch of information. I'll ask for questions one last time, see if anybody has anything that they're want to ask me about. You can always email me at jeff@speakercoop.com and ask your questions there. You can join us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. We have a LinkedIn group. And those are both forums to discuss all aspects of business speaking. Okay. I hope you got some good information for today. I'm pretty confident that we gave you some value today on how to get yourself booked and a few tips on if you want to have somebody else do it for you. This is Jeff Klein with Speaker Co-op. Speakercoop.com is our website, and we will talk to you next month.